that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind, a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. Fear shouldn't be part of a child of God. And so, one thing that makes us unsettled and does not allow us to rest is fear. We are going around, running around, doing all sorts of things, acting in all ways that we shouldn't act because we are afraid of what? Something. But you see, when we begin to see our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the master of all situation, the creator of everything, then we need not fear anything. We need not have fear for anything. And if we begin to see that we have a shepherd who is all powerful, all knowing, all authoritative, he is the creator of the universe, he is in charge of all situation, then we can rest because fear will not be part of us. Because fear will not be part of you. Anything that brings fear in our life is not of God. Don't entertain fear. Don't entertain it. Don't like it. Don't love it. Begin to speak against it. Begin to bind it. Begin to be active in your mind. You see, the battle first begins in your mind. You not being able to rest starts from your mind. When you begin to think, this thing can damage me and destroy me and to put me in places I cannot be, then you have given that thing authority and control over you. But our shepherd, he makes sure that we lie down. He brings us to a place of rest. Many of us are living in fear. And he says, no, I want you to now get rid of this fear and begin to rest. Many of us are running around doing so many things. And God is saying, no, I'm bringing you to a place of rest. It's not you that has to take yourself to that place of rest. It is my work to do this. And then Keller goes ahead and points that for the sheep to be able to rest, it has to be free. There has to be no strife among the sheep. Strive. How many of us come to church and we have an issue with somebody, so all the time we are worshiping, we are not able to worship. All that person did is what's on our mind. It's all you are thinking about. It's all you are doing. You don't have your peace, you don't have your rest because there is strife between you and somebody. And as children of God, if the husband in the house and the wife in the house allow strife to go on amongst them, they don't have peace. If you and I, we come here and we begin to hate on each other, have problems with each other, because as human beings, it's definitely like we'll wrong each other, we'll rub each other the wrong way, you know? But if we allow the rubbing on each other to stay amongst us, it will not allow us to have peace, because you come to church, you want to worship, but that person, what they did is what's on your mind. Some people come to the extent of, I don't even want to sit by him. It's the only seat, and because of that, you walk out and go home. Some people come and they're like, I don't want to have communion because I have a problem with the pastor who is blessing the communion. Are you, hello? So, and it's not just in the church. Strife can be everywhere you go. Anywhere you go, there could be strife. You could have strife with your colleagues at work. You could have strife with your boss at work. You could have strife with your neighbors. They play their music too loud. You are trying to sleep and so you get up and you go and bang on their door. And so there is strife, there is that friction. that is going on with you. Friction that is going on with you. And it does not allow you to have your peace. It does not allow you to have your rest. It does not allow you to have your comfort that God wishes for you. And so you find that the child of God that Jesus has died for, because of offenses and strife and differences amongst us, we are not able to enjoy the peace that Jesus has come to die for you and I. And to make it worse, we can't focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Keller, as a shepherd, says that one thing about the sheep, every time there is strife and in the night they are not sleeping and fighting among each other, the moment the shepherd enters into the pen, the sheep will stop misbehaving. The sheep stops misbehaving when the shepherd is always around. And so some shepherds go to the extent of creating statues like them so that their sheep can sleep. Do you get the point? If you and I, as children of God, begin to take our eye off our Lord Jesus Christ, everything that everybody does becomes offensive to you and I. But Jesus teaches us one thing, to love one another. Love is the basic principle that you and I can love one another so that we can deal with our differences. But the only way we can do it is if the Lord Jesus is indeed the focus. Many of us are part of this kingdom of God, are part of the church, have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus is not our focus. Something else is our focus. And when you're going through a time of challenge with someone, misunderstanding with someone, that is that moment that you begin to really begin to focus on Jesus Christ. And you see, when you begin to elevate Jesus and you begin to keep your eye on Jesus, everything else that is going on around you can go on and you don't care. Do you remember the story of the Israelites? When they murmured and murmured and murmured in the desert, and the Lord sent snakes among them, and Moses began to intercede, and the Lord said, the rod of Moses turns into a snake, and Moses lifts up, and as long as they kept their eye on that snake, the snakes which were coming around and biting couldn't kill them. And it's the same way when you and I allow our differences, our conflicts, our misunderstandings to begin to control our environment, and we take our focus off of Jesus Christ, then we become open to the enemy. And the Lord Jesus is saying, He's your shepherd. Begin to look at Him for everything. Begin to depend on His grace to be able to love someone, to be able to go through your challenging relationships, to be able to relate with people in love. You got to begin to focus on Jesus. Many of us, our focuses are not on Jesus. Some people, our focuses are on our gym instructors. What the gym instructor says is important to you more than what Jesus will say, or more than what your pastor says to you. Some people, it is our husbands. Some people, it is our wives. Some people, it is our colleagues. Youth here, our colleagues at school. There are a lot of us, all we do is spend time on the phone. We don't spend time praying. We don't spend time in God's word. But the only way we can keep our eye on Jesus is through prayer and in the study of the word of God. Through prayer and the study of God's word. And so when you read Hebrews 12, verse 2, the writer says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us begin to set our eyes on Jesus Christ. If Jesus was able to finish his race, then if we focus on him who is our shepherd, he can help us to finish our race. To finish our race. So, sheep also have difficulty resting when little annoyances and aggravations invade their world. When pests come into the pen, come among the sheep, and begin to, you see, the focus of the pest here is to feed on the sheep. So the pest becomes a prey and pounces on the sheep. And so you find that in some cases there are pests, there are ticks and stuff sucking the blood of these sheep. And they become discomfort. So they start to scratch themselves, they start to rub themselves and begin to get rid of that insect from their body. And so the shepherd would do anything possible to get rid of the insect. They would dip them in chemicals. They would spray chemicals on the sheep. They would do everything possible to give rest to their sheep, so that the foreign agents, the pest here that is now preying on the animal and taking the peace and the comfort of the animal, is dealt with. So now let's take some time and look at this. Reality, the truth is that yes, there are pests that feed on that also feed on these sheep. They come into their skin and they start to suck their blood. But you see, likewise, children of God have a common enemy, Satan and his demons. We are praise to them. And their ultimate agenda is not because they love us, it's not because they care for us, it's because they hate our Lord Jesus Christ. And they know they can't get Jesus directly, because the Lord God says that we are the apple of his eye. We are precious and we are special to God. And so if Satan wants to get to God, he doesn't go to God directly, because he knows he can't get to God. So what does he do? He comes to us and he preys on us. The foreign agent here is anything we allow to come amongst us to cause discomfort. Anything, the pest here is anything that feeds on our peace, that feeds on our joy, that feeds on our happiness, our sustenance, our livelihood. Anything that comes along us and does these things to us. It could be a friend. This difficult situation could present itself as a human being in your life. Somebody in your life that is always causing a problem for you, that you don't seem to be able to get rid of. But you see, the apostles Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and authorities we do not know of. And so when things begin to manifest physically, that means that in the spiritual realms, there is a spirit that is also behind the whole scene. But you see, when the shepherd, knowing his animal and loving his animal and caring for the animals and having a dependency on the animals, comes around and begins to spray these chemicals and set them free from insects, likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ, he sets us free from the arms of the enemy. He sets us free from our oppressor. He sets us free from our discomforter. He sets us free from any imprisonment of the enemy, from any catapult, from any insect, from any spiritual insect, anything that has come into our life and is taking our joy away. Jesus can handle that. He keeps us. And he does these things for us. And so when situations come into your life and you can't control, when a foreign agent comes into your life, you don't begin to pick a fight with that person. You begin to go into your closet, your prayer room, and you begin to call on your Father, who says, call on me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things you do not know of. You begin to see, you look for your shepherd. Where is my shepherd? I need deliverance because this demon is too much for me and I need Jesus to set me free. Some of us even forget that we have to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to call on Jesus. Call on me, is his word. And sometimes we go through so much. The enemy throws so much at us. Our joy is taken from us somehow. And the child of God is trying to solve it by himself. Meanwhile, we do not have power. The word of God says that it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Declare a time of fasting. Spend some time, some night in prayer. Spend some day in prayer. Take some time off of work and begin to seek your shepherd. He can come and dip you. The blood of Jesus is a weapon in itself. If you are dipped in the blood, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Demons see you, they know they can't touch this one. They try and they know they can't touch you. No wonder the word of God says, 1,000 shall fall at our right hand side. 10,000 shall fall at our left hand side. But none shall come near thee. None shall come near thee. God promises that Satan cannot control us, cannot be in charge, cannot be in authority, except he allows Satan. So, child of God, whatever is going on in your life, whatever is happening in your life, begin to call on Jesus. Begin to call on Jesus. That situation you cannot control. Yield to your shepherd. Look up to your shepherd to come and deliver you. And you know what? He is quick to answer. He is quick to answer. And the last one is that hunger. Hunger. Oh, the sheep will not rest when they are hungry. So the shepherd has to provide food for them. The shepherd has to provide food for them so that they can rest. You and I are similar. Most of us cannot go a morning without food. Most of us cannot do that. You see, he says here, that he leads me to green pastures. You see, many of us are hungry physically. There's physical hunger, yes, and there's also spiritual hunger. Many of us are hungry because there's no richness of God's word in our life. In our life. God's word is not in our life. You see, the pasture that he's talking about, he's not talking about food. Even though God provides food and he has put some of the richest greens on this earth, greens that are so rich in protein. I mean, I like guys who, my wife has been talking about salad and she's trying to educate me on good salad and bad salad and all that. It's good. God put these things in the soil for you and I to enjoy. But the writer says, he leads me to greener pastures, to green pastures. He leads me. We all know that God's ultimate agenda is for you and I to come to him. And the ultimate place of rest is in God. It's in our Lord Jesus. It is not in anything but in God. And so when he says that he leads me to greener pastures, you see, the word of God tells us in Joshua 50 Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 7. When the enemies of Israel found themselves being accused of causing problems to the Israelites, this is what they said. Whoever found them devoured them. Their enemies said, "We are not guilty, for they sinned against the Lord. They are verdant pasture, the Lord, the hope of their ancestors." You see, even the enemies of God knew that God provides for his people. They called him the pasture. And we know from John that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among men. And so the Lord Jesus is the person that is leading us into a presence, into a relationship, into a place of perfect peace, which is the Word of God. You and I must begin to draw closer to God in His Word. We need to begin to prioritize our devotional life. Study the Word of God. You see, the Word of God in itself has the nuggets of life that can give us peace, that can give us hope, that can give us rest, that can give us encouragement, that can guide us, that can lead us in all situations. And so when a child of God begins to meditate on God's Word, to study God's Word, and begin to apply this, it begins to enrichen your life. Your soul begins to be rich. Your spiritual life begins to be rich. Your relationship with God begins to rich. And you begin to come to this resting place where no one can take from you, which is in God. And so, child of God, begin to prioritize the presence of God's Word in your life. You and I must begin to prioritize God and His Word. Not just that, these greener pastures. He goes ahead, he says, He leads me beside the still waters. The images are rich with the sense of comfort, care, and rest. John 4:10 says, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus, and this is the case that happened at the well. And Jesus answered her, John 4:10, "If you know the gift of God, and who is that ask you for drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living waters." You see, the sheep cannot drink from muddy waters, from dangerous waters. The sheep cannot drink from rushing waters. The sheep needs still water. The sheep needs clean water. The sheep needs healthy water. And the Lord Jesus is our clean water. He is our mighty water. He will give us His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit will begin to work on us the work of peace, the work of joy, the work of hope, the word of power, everything that is of God. The Holy Spirit will begin to work it in our life. And so you find that the child of God begins to have a life that is full of life, a life that is rejuvenated, a life that is full of peace. A life that is full of peace. This morning I have a question. How peaceful are you? How peaceful are you? If your life is not at peace, just pray and talk to Him. Whatever you have made so important to you that your shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is not the center of, you can begin to put it to the side. Begin to reprioritize your life and allow the Lord Jesus to become the center of your life. That is where perfect peace begins from. That is where the life of abundance begins from. That is where rest is. And so let us spend some time in prayer. Just talk to the Lord.